like scary phone-ins? It's Halloween. You don't want to be alone.
Who you gonna call?
Clyde One.
0141 951 1025. Speak to Gordon DL and Mark Wilson.
Clyde One.
They've come disguised as experts. Inside your radio. Envision on Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Clyde One. Super Scareboard.
Yes, good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a huge night across the Scottish top flight. Rangers fell 9 points behind Celtic and Aberdeen after losing at Pittodrie, but Philippe Clement believes it was one of their better performances. Gordon DL has got his Halloween costume on. He's lost the plot at the start of the show. He's ruined the full thing. And now I can't even get the headlines out without the show descending into farce at 2 minutes past six. What a low moment that was. Elsewhere last night, the Hoops beat Dundee. Big wins for Motherwell, Kilmarnock and St Mirren. And Hearts replace Hibs at the bottom. Gordon DL alongside Mark Wilson. Mark, he's got his stupid Halloween mask on, so you better do the intro and tell us just how big a show we've got coming up.
Well, we've got a huge show, one of the biggest we've had in a long time, you'd have to expect after last night's results. And it all comes off the back, of course, Aberdeen beating Rangers 2-1. But I don't think it was just the result, the final result, because I don't think it was a surprise, but the performance levels were alarming for Rangers. I think even more alarming was the post-match press conference from the Rangers manager. It'll be interesting to hear tonight what the Rangers fans think of that performance, think of the post-match comments, and what do you think is best for their team going forward.
This is supposed to be a serious night of football discussion. There is no room for sense of humour as far as the Rangers fans are concerned. Gordon DL, please remove your Halloween mask and give us your thoughts.
It's Halloween. Last night. Have a bit of fun. Oh, sorry. Listen, I was listening to Mark there. Totally agree with him. I think the Rangers fans will be on in their numbers tonight, complaining about what's happening at their club. It's not good enough, Gordon, let's be honest about it. They're seeing Aberdeen, never mind Celtic, going into the distance. Performance last night, I thought second half, 20 minutes, yes, but apart from that, and then I think the biggest alarming situation for me is the statement and the comments that the Rangers managers come out with. And if you look down the rest of the results, great result for, you know, Motherwell, Kilmarnock go to Tynecastle as well. We're talking, and obviously Celtic dominated the game against Dundee, made it hard for herself, but got over the line, no problem. But we're talking about Rangers, but all congratulations right now must go to Aberdeen. They've been absolutely fantastic.
Come on then, 0141 951 1025. How are you feeling, Rangers fans? What did you make of last night? Where did it go wrong? Where does this leave Philippe Clement and the rest of the club? Give us a call right now, please. 0141 951 1025. I know we won't need to hang around for long. I can see the calls firing through already. So just to set the tone, as the guys usually do on a Monday, we had a full card last night. So what was your result of the evening, Mark?
Okay, an easy one to start off. I'm going to go for Aberdeen. I thought the performance was magnificent from them. I thought they were everything that a team should be if you're top of the league and you really want to show that you can last the distance. They had the energy, they had passion, they were fighting for their manager, and individual quality as well. They tried to play out at the back. They weren't just direct. They mixed their games up. So I thought, all in all, close to a perfect performance from Aberdeen last night.
I was split for my home side. Motherwell going up to Tannadice. I've had a couple of disappointing results. Dundee and Celtic, obviously very difficult for Park. But showed great character. Got the result. But I've got to look at Kilmarnock, Gordon. It wasn't that long ago, we're looking at them down the bottom of the league, really, really struggling to get a result. They go to Tynecastle last night, go a goal behind, show great character under Derek McInnes, get the 3 points and put some into the top six.
Goal of the evening, who gets the nod?
For me, Scott Tanzer last night, oh, equaliser for St Mirren. By the way, I thought they should have had a penalty, and I wondered if they were going to get a penalty. Referee let it play on. What a finish that was. Left foot curling into the top corner. Brilliant goal.
I'm going for Alan Forrest.
Yeah, nice goal.
I thought it was a great build up from Hearts, got off to a terrific start and an absolute brilliant finish as well into the top corner. I agree with Mark, Tanza was sensational, but I'll go for Forrest.
Okay, howler of the evening. Let's bring it down. Let's go negative.
I'll go first. Mull Club, Dundee United, I thought they were in the ascendancy at that time, and Adebayega, it comes from, I think it's a set piece, it's in the Motherwell's defending, just a lump up the pitch, and you think you can go back to your goalkeeper and he can launch it, but he tries to volley it and he gives the ball away to Maswanisse, who obviously does the damage at the other end, wins the points for Motherwell.
You're going to be surprised with this one. It's Kyogo for me. A man of his talent and the way he scores goals, he probably missed the easiest chance I've ever seen Kyogo missing. In fact, I think that could be sitter of the season so far.
Okay.
I'm expecting him not just to score, hit the target, but he misses it with a country mile. I don't know what he was doing. So, Kyogo for me.
Who was your top man, top performer of the evening?
Yeah, I'm going to go for it. A man that I had an argument with at Pittodrie. I think he led by example last night. Aaron Band for Aberdeen. Shinny, Graham Shinny. I thought from the first kick to the last kick of the ball, he was absolutely brilliant. He led by example, and I'm man of the night, Graham Shinny.
It was good. Know what annoyed me about Shinny though? Every time we spoke to the ref, arms behind the back. What's that about? Did you notice
just
that?
Just to show you're not aggressive.
I was saying, what are you thinking there? Just unleash the arms. I think Devlin deserves a shout as well. I thought he was incredible, but I'm going to go to Tanadice and I'm going to go Maswanisse. By the way, decent first goal. He was in the right place at the right time. But when Adebayega makes that mistake, he's got an awful lot of ground to cover. And what a finish it was, by the way. He's looked impressive for Motherwell. I'm going to give my man of the night to him.
When there is a crisis in the air, I think everybody knows Clyde One Super Scoreboard was built for nights like this. So let's dive straight in with Mark, who is a Rangers fan. How would you kick off the show and sum things up about how it feels to be a Rangers fan after last night, Mark?
Well, listen, the club, as I was on last week, the club's collapsed from the top to the bottom, from financial results to the management team, from the scout to the support, from the captain to Cyril Dessers, the club has collapsed. So they're technically 10 points behind Aberdeen and Celtic, if you include the goal difference. I would expect Rangers under John Gilligan and George Levan, who are massive fans and they do care about the club, and they are running things just now. They're obviously, they've been placed there by the current shareholders who, even though people might not think it, do care about the club and have put in a lot of money. So it wouldn't surprise me if I was a betting man. I think it'll go. I think it'll be gone in the next 24 hours. And I think this is the quiet time, as we've seen with the last previous three managers. It wouldn't surprise me if there's a statement from Mr. Gilligan and George Leatham on behalf of the shareholders and the manager's gone, because he has lost every single supporter. There is nobody now that can possibly or that does back the manager, because he's not getting a tune out of the players. It's nothing personal. He's just not getting a tune out of the players. And as I say, that side of things is his fault. He cannot be blamed for the financial disarray, for the chief executive problems, the chairman problems, the way the club's dealt with sponsorship deals. That's not Philip Clement's fault. But his fault is tactics and picking the right players and the wrong players, and the way he's dealt with everything from Cantwell to Hadji, to the way, things he says after press conferences, before press conferences, the way he sees a game. It's just, the Rangers fans now see through that. He's gone down the Pedro Coutinho route, and he's gone. I think he's gone. And I think that the club will announce that he's away. And if they don't, then I think it will definitely happen in the next week. But if I was a betting man, I think that Mr. Leatham and Mr. Gilligan, they know how the fans think. They are fans, and I would expect Clement to be gone.
What angered you most about last night, Mark?
What angered me most, and this is a travesty, I expected to get beat. So there's nothing Aberdeen did that angered me, and I went up there expecting to get beat because of the heart and soul, which is not there. So it's not even the talent of the players that's not necessarily there, but the fight doesn't appear to be there. Knowing what each other's doing, the tactics, the way the team's been rotten all season, absolutely rotten, minus a couple of games or a couple of halves in a couple of games. So what angered me most is I expected to get beat. We did get beat. So the point is, and we're going to look forward now. It's been a disaster. But they've got to now take a hold of things. And I think the first thing that will happen is that the manager will be away.
Well, Gordon, where to start? It's a result that leaves Rangers 9 points behind. But then, as Mark's pointed out, the performance wasn't good enough in the eyes of the Rangers fans. And then Philippe Clement's response to the performance wasn't good enough in the eyes of the Rangers fans. So it seems like a lot, I don't know if changed is the right word, last night, because maybe some Rangers fans already were done with Philippe Clement anyway, but those who weren't must be in their final straw now.
Everything's not good enough. Rangers are a situation just now, Gordon. I wouldn't be concerned myself with Celtic. I'd be concerned myself with Aberdeen for finishing second. And that's got to be a task, because I think Mark makes a great point. You look at the goal difference as well. You look at the way Aberdeen are structured. The manager talks in absolute riddles for me. I don't like saying that about a manager, but he just talks riddles, and the Rangers fans are not buying into this nonsense. Some of his team selections are baffling. He seems to go with sports science information every time when he's picking a team. He's at Aberdeen last night, the most important game, and he changes his team around because he comes out and says, Chefty, for instance, who'd been very good at left back for the lad, he's got a bit of pace about him, he's settling into it, and he turns around and says, well, we think he's maybe played too many games. This is the most important game of your season. He talks about, you know, we had to get rid of big hitters, but he spent, what, 10 million? You look at Aberdeen, he talks then about we're going to be better in November and October when you see the real Rangers, and it takes time for these young players to bed in. 6 of the players last night that started were between 27 and 36 with Balogun. You're talking about Butland, Tavernier, Souter, Balogun. You're talking about
Dessers.
You're talking about Tom Lawrence. And then he's thrown in this young... Rangers fans have had enough. You've got to be honest. Football costs money now, and money's very tight for a lot of people. At least you're wanting a bit of entertainment. You're wanting a bit of structure. You're wanting to see where your club's going. You're wanting to see, right, okay, we're having a wee bad time now, but we'll come out this. I'll give you a perfect example. I think Kilmarnock were a perfect example this season. They started the season very, very poorly. Europe, they couldn't buy a win in the league. But you could see they had a structure under Derek McInnes that would eventually change. And it has changed because they've started to win and got a great result last night. They're now in the top 6. I don't see that at all with Rangers. Now, I don't know if Mark's right that he'll be gone the next 24 hours. I think with the semi-final coming up on Sunday, I think he'll still be the manager.
And is that the right move
for me? I would have him out the building. I think he's taking Rangers back a country mile, right? And the problem I've got with him is he's coming out and he's trying to pull the wool over Rangers fans' eyes by talking nonsense. And they're not having it. Nobody believes in. He came out last night and done an interview that I sat there for 10 minutes and thought to myself, I cannot believe he's just said that, right, about how good they were and a toenail 2-2, they've got 2-2 here. And he forgets that Aberdeen have missed a penalty kick. And if that penalty gives in 2-0, Rangers are never coming back. The lad scores a goal, Barami scores a goal, right? Terrific goal. Subs him. And I'm thinking to myself, he's the only threat you've got and you've just subbed him, right? So for me, I think the players have had enough of him. And by the way, they've got to take responsibility. Let's not get away from that. But I think Mark makes a great point. The full club just now, it's in a bad place.
He's up for this tonight. You need to match his energy levels.
I'm fine just letting him go on. Because that's the most passionate I've ever heard you.
That was good. That was.
I must admit, you're not far off with everything. You know, the club's obviously in a really poor place just now, off the field. Made the point on Sunday when the fans unfurled the banner. Why did they keep having a go at the people upstairs when it's glaringly obvious what's on the pitch and what can be changed just isn't good enough. And that was evident last night. The worrying thing for me, if I was a Rangers fan just now, is I seen an Aberdeen team that was everything a Rangers team should be, and it looked the opposite way around. Even after the game, the manager spoke, and I don't mean this disrespectful to Aberdeen manager or any other manager out with Celtic or Rangers in the league, but he spoke like another team within the league, that we were unlucky and we could have done this, when it was blatantly obvious who was the better team on the night. And Daz is right. See, within the first half hour, you think of the chances that Aberdeen had.
Hit the post as well.
Your man cleared off the line. Penalty miss. Goal. You know, forget so that. Philippe Clement is getting to this habit, almost gaslighting or attempting to gaslight the Rangers fans into believing something that clearly did not happen. And last night was another example of that.
Thank you to Mark. What about Liam from Lark Hall? How do you feel after last night, Liam?
It was terrible. It's the worst Rangers team I've ever seen in all my life.
Philippe Clement, should he go?
I'd have been gone last week if it was up to me.
Do you think he will, though? That's a different question, I suppose. Will you get your wishes?
He needs to go.
Do you detect any Rangers fans out there, Liam, that have still got a bit of faith in him?
There shouldn't be a Rangers fan out there with faith in him. He's not got a clue. He's killing the club.
What in particular last night did he get wrong, do you think?
For a starter, changing a team, there was no reason. Aberdeen yesterday was a big game. There was no need to change a team. And then going into a press conference and saying the things he said, we were unlucky, we could have won 2 each. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, the team lineup did cause a few raised eyebrows in here when it got announced. There's a bit of bad luck, of course. Vaclav Cherny's been Rangers' main goal threat and he's clearly injured, couldn't take any part. But Jeffrey left out, as Gordon alluded to, because just he needed a rest. Then, you know, so Cassin Wiro played in there as well. I'm not saying this was definitely the wrong call, because Robin Proper did struggle at the weekend, but again, as part of a bigger issue, then he's your experienced kind of main man defender that you've signed in the summer, and he's then not trusted to play arguably your biggest game of the season. So team lineup stuff always going to come back to the manager. That's the bit he can't really escape.
And probably being a defender myself, I always look at back fours and the goalkeeper and how that unit is performing, how many games are playing together, and you can quite clearly see the teams that have some consistency in that area, they always do well. Rangers, if you just take this weekend alone, Rangers at the weekend started with Cassin Wiro right back, didn't they? Was that Balogun, Proper and Jeff Day? Cassin Wiro went to left centre half within that game against St Mirren, and then you turn up at Pittodrie and it's totally different again. And it would not surprise me if it's totally different again come Sunday against Motherwell. And that's been just a theme throughout the season. So how can you expect to build any consistency if you are chopping and changing your back four every game in key positions as well? Now, there was a time I thought Suter and Proper looked okay together and they looked stable. Wasn't it long before that changed, though? So, you know, you've got no foundations to build on then. Then you look at other areas. McCausland starting a wide area. You could argue, okay, he's a winger, but has he done enough to really start in a game like that? Well, Philippe Clement obviously thought that's a mistake because he whips him at half time and he puts on Sterling. And Rangers were probably better within that. So again, team selection, it's never easy as a manager, but I think the players expect some consistency and to be trusted as well, and they aren't getting that.
What did you make of Philippe Clement's interview, Liam, saying that he thought that was one of the better performances this season?
Getting beat's a better performance. He's an excuse after every game. There's not a game this season, well, there's been a few games this season, but the majority of the season, Rangers have been terrible. It's the worst I've ever seen the team.
Is that a concern? Well, obviously it's a concern, Gordon, but yeah, even at that, the performance levels, said this before, Aberdeen have been really good, and credit to them. And even when Aberdeen aren't as good as they are, you know, you might go to Pittodrie and drop points. It's just the way it is. It is a tough place to go. You might go to Tynecastle and drop points. What is Rangers' optimum performance level? You know, we hear a lot about Malmo and Bucharest, but how concerning are the actual domestic performance levels.
Massive. Rangers fans have switched off. If they're not careful, Ibrox is going to be half full very, very shortly, because Rangers fans are not going to accept that. I felt for Rangers fans that travelled up to Pittodrie last night, sit and watch that. Look, give them a bit of credit. Second half, for the first, 20 minutes, I thought they looked a lot better. They got a grip of the game. But they get back into the game, and then he subs a goal scorer. Now, you go into McCausland. For me, it's only a matter of opinions. I would never have started McCausland that game on Tuesday night. I didn't think it was a game for him. But to be fair to the young lad, he's the easy one at half-time. See, for a manager, that's the easy one. The youngest player, I've put you on, 45 minutes, right, sit in the dressing room. You get nothing out of that. You know, he should never have started that. But his interviews after it, Gordon, Rangers fans now know it's not acceptable.
There is a lot of anger and frustration out there, and plenty more to come up after these.
It's Halloween. Trick or tweet?
Who you gonna call?
Clyde One. Or call 0141 951 1025. Inside your radio, Envision on Twitter, and face Spook. Clyde One. Super Scareboard.
Yes, two of the most terrifying looking people we could find for the show tonight in Mark Wilson and Gordon DL. It is 0141 951 1025. Rangers fans are calling in their droves by the looks of things, so who are we to get in the way? Ross is next up from Mauchlin. How are you, Ross, apart from the obvious?
Alright, sure, how's it going? Happy Halloween, mate.
Okay, Ross, yeah, happy Halloween to you as well.
Which one of them do you think's Hugh? It's Gordon and Mark.
Well, Gordon, you can take your mask off, mate.
Aye, okay, Hugh. Hugh, Ross, sorry.
What did you make of last night, Ross?
What did I make of last night? Get him out. That's what I say. Get him out. Get him out of there.
Do you think that will happen?
I think it's got to. The use now.
Well, that's the bit I actually don't know. I get that everybody thinks he should. I think will it happen is a very different question.
I mean, again, all the boys are asking again, where's the money going as well? I mean, come on, let's get the guy out of there. What's he doing for us? He's not doing anything.
Mark, what do you think?
I don't think he'll be removed just now. Was it Mark, the first caller, that says he thought he'd be out? I don't think they will remove him in the next day or two. I think he will get the opportunity to go to Hampden against Motherwell. I don't know if the result of that game, though, will have any difference. Remember, when you remove a manager, you have got to have a plan in place. The Rangers really need a temporary manager, and just now, what changes? I think the club needs someone to come in. This is at pitch level, at player level, to come and drag the full playing side in a different direction. But again, behind the scenes, who's there to make that decision, or who's there to put the plans in place? That's why I don't think he'll be taken out just now.
I agree with that. I think he'll get the weekend, and he'll soldier on. I totally agree with Matt. I don't think they'll make the call. I think it's too near the weekend. But like, for me, he's in borrowed time, because he could beat Motherwell and get to the cup final. I take that on board. But in the longer term, what I'm seeing is a Rangers team that are diabolical to watch. Nobody's interested, really. They're not a good watch. They've had maybe one or two games this season. You'd think, okay, they were fine there. You've got players that quite clearly, to me, don't know what they're doing, what structure they're playing to. They've got players that have went back the way a million miles. I'm a massive Tavernier fan, and I've stuck up for him this show for years now. But Tavernier last night, I look at Shinny as a captain, as a leader, and the example he set, and then I look at Tavernier, and I'm thinking, I don't know if you're even trying to throw the manager under the bus, and I hate pointing at them. I look at Dessers, I look at other players on that part that there's no direction what they're doing, Gordon, and
see,
they don't know.
See, when you're saying about the players, you look at them and it looks like they don't know what they're doing or what style they're playing. That's incredibly difficult. Going back to my point earlier, and consistency and players playing in the right position. So if you're Sterling, for instance, what position are you? And you're getting thrown on at Pittodrie as a right winger. So how does he really know how a right winger in that system plays, or how can he specialise in it?
I do get that, to be fair. I do. But then at the same time, even when Rangers have most people available and it is a more predictable lineup, is there a style and identity there anyway?
Not in terms of the full team, but I'm talking about you have to break down that the players know individually what they're doing first in their position before you can get an identity overall within the team. So if you've not got one, you kind of get the other. And if Philippe Clement keeps taking this player and putting him there, and then taking a centre half and putting him to right back, and by the way, we'll change you to left back, how do they know how to play? So how can you be a team like Aberdeen, who you could quite clearly see as soon as they won the ball, you look at Nicky Devlin, change player now. Nicky Devlin knows as soon as Aberdeen wins the ball, bang, he's forward. He's overlapping, he's underlapping, he's in the opposition box. There was a moment yesterday in the game, 7 minutes in, Casemiro down the side to Barami, overlapped, got round him, put in a ball into the box, and Desser and Lawrence are standing 10 yards outside the box. That's a team that is disjointed, who has no idea how they're playing, because they don't know what they're getting from Casemiro at left back. They don't know that he can go and do that. So until you get some stability in that regard, you're never going to get results.
Chris is in Kosyth. How do you feel about the manager currently, Chris?
I think the time's come for him to go, guys. How's doing? Obviously, first time caller. I've just watching the game last night, just like everybody else, really. It didn't come as a surprise, the result last night.
Is that the worst thing, Chris?
Obviously. Better teams, better Rangers teams than the one we've got just now. Went up there and struggled to get results. But you can see, obviously, it's been coming for months. Even in the build-up pre-season, obviously with the signings coming in, the performances weren't there. There's no obvious style of play. We've been leaky defensively for a good time now. Nothing's changed under Clement. We've actually went backwards defensively, I think. As well as that, we're seeing, obviously, the product going further up the park. That's going backwards now. We used to be a dangerous team. We're no dangerous. You look at the performances of the kind of forward-thinking players in the team. Dessers he's been poor for a number of games now. He's refusing to take him out of the team. The selection last night, you look at McCausland starting, that's not the right selection for me. You look at Lawrence, I don't think it was a game for Lawrence. I think you need a lot of energy in there when we're playing Aberdeen. Lawrence isn't really the type of guy that's going to give you that. Casemiro being played out in the left, out of the blue, dropping Yefty. It's just baffling decisions for the manager.
Also, do you know what summed it up to me last night for Rangers? When you think of the whole package, you can talk about the game, you can talk about the manager's interview. The desire at Aberdeen's goals, right? They switch off, they don't get there, they jog out. You look at Raskin was standing there, and I like Raskin, and then realised, oh, I better go out here and close this ball down. He jogs out, right? Barami passes on Devlin and thinks that, right, I'm not taking the responsibility of getting in there and doing a job because I need to run 10, 15 yards, I need to burst a gut. But the one thing Devlin's doing, he's bursting a gut, gets a reward. The second goal, a schoolboy, you see the overlap with McKenzie. Tavernier standing, why are you standing in there? I have no idea. He makes a mess of it. He lets the cross come in, makes a mess. Rangers' desire to win that game last night was shocking for me. And I am as much as giving the manager a bit of criticism. I think sometimes as a player, as much as you can say, right, okay, we've no direction, we've no leadership, we've nothing there, but you get in that part and you're playing for Rangers and you pull on the jersey, you're going to have a bit of desire. You're going to closing people down is the easiest part of the job, right? Everybody can go and do that. Skillful part, beating men and all that's a completely different. But the desire to go and close down, the difference with Aberdeen, you've seen it in the programme last night, they highlighted it. The boy Devlin made a 70-yard burst to get back in and defend. Never seen one Rangers player doing that.
So is this all the manager's fault, Chris, or do players need to take a share of the blame, and if so, who?
No, I think certainly the players have to take a share of the blame. You know, the application, you can see the application's not been there, but I don't know if obviously that's just a byproduct of a poor management. For me, the worst thing with regards to the manager is his take on things. I'm very much the viewpoint where if we don't play well, they should come out and say, but we've not played well, we've not performed. But it's just obviously the spin that you see in the post-match press conferences and things like that. His take on the game last night was embarrassing, to be honest. The fact that he said we started well, we had a shot early on in the game, and then really for the remainder of that first half, it was all Aberdeen. You know, Aberdeen played us off the park, to be honest.
Yeah, Mark, it's funny how if we keep getting calls about the manager's press conference, you must be getting them really wrong for people to really care that much. Because ultimately, I mean, I care about them, it's part of the job, but really the results and the performances are much more important than that. But if you think about it, I think the thing that would be surprising, since he's been here over a year, Rangers have had a lot of bad performances in that time, like objectively bad performances here. And he's never once really, really been critical. Now, over the piece, you get the logic. You've both been there. You can't just keep slaughtering your players. You can't throw them under the bus. You have to put a positive spin on things. You hear that. But alarm bells must be ringing that not once, genuinely not once since he's been here, has he come out and said, you know, that was unacceptable. You know, I'll be even serious words. I'm furious with that. That is well below the standards. Not one single time. How can that be possible?
Yeah. Look, I think football's changed. So back in when I was playing, I always remember Gordon Strachan in the dressing room when we were awful. He would rip into us, but he would always say, I'll go out and defend you to the media, but this is what I think. And he would, in a sense. But now I think it's even moved on. I think you hear managers all around the place in our country, down south in the top leagues. I think you hear managers describing what it is, because no fans know the game. And the no fans understand when they haven't played well, they've been outplayed and they deserve to lose. You're spot on, Gordon. I can't remember off the top of my head Philippe coming out and saying, by the way, well done to Kilmarnock. They really deserved that. We were well off it and we didn't deserve it, and we need to buck up our ideas and on to the next one. Same with Aberdeen. There always seems to be an excuse. Or way back to the Celtic game at Ibrox, it was a moral victory for a draw. And he had another few strange comments. Fans see through that. Fans want to hear honesty. And Chris, who's on the line, he wants to hear what he saw.
Just quite on that, Gordon, sorry. Last night, it was remarkable to see it. We were in here until 11 o'clock. Go and listen and watch back, by the way, if you're that way inclined. Just when you think, like, surely that performance and that result, that is the Rangers fans at tipping point. But actually, they went beyond it once they saw his interview on Sky Sports.
No, what I'd be more worried about, and Mark's been in that dressing room, he talks about Gordon Strachan. Okay, different mad days, it was a very strong leadership. But see, if you're a player and you're watching your manager going out and giving that interview, you'd be sitting in that team bus. I'm guaranteeing you going down from Pittodrie last night and Rangers players sitting going, did you hear that interview he gave? You know, that's when you know you're in trouble. And that happens.
Let's thank Chris and bring in Ali before we move on. What's your take on it all, Ali? Should the manager go?
For me, guys, I think the game's been analysed last night with the shambles. I actually think it's a case of when the manager goes rather than if. We probably will be in the dugout for Sunday. We've got a big game coming up, but then it only takes the next league game and for us to drop more points for the pressure to then ramp up again. And I just wanted to ask the panel who they think would be the right guy for Rangers if this guy does go. For me personally, I think Derek McInnes is a name that stands out, and I know a lot of Rangers fans were against him because he supposedly said no to us in the past, but we've tried a couple of foreign experiments. Clement's obviously failed. Kashinia was a disaster. Van Bronckhorst was decent in my opinion. I don't think it was the right decision to get rid of him. I think he should have been given more time. I think we've tried Beale, and that was meant to be a British manager, and that he understood the club and the dynamics. But who is the right person? Because for me, McInnes is the only name that stands out. Ex-Rangers man, understands the club as a fan himself, and maybe in the coaching side of things, we go and look for Rangers men that really understand the club. The players are a disgrace. The players and the squad right now, for me, is in comparison to the squad we had when Mark Warburton actually was manager, and it was just a team that you expected to finish second or third. I mean, right now, it looks like we're going to probably finish third. So the squad's a shambles, but
somebody should be able to get more out of them and then also just trying to sign better players. I think from top to bottom, the club needs a revamp, but the manager's the most important kind of position at the club. And I think if we get rid of this guy, do you think McInnes is the right manager? And do you think he'd be somebody that, you know, would fund the club's fortunes around?
Answer that quickly, Gordon. It's a difficult one when there is no vacancy.
No.
And we, as far as we know, I don't know if there is going to be one. But anyway,
the only thing I'll say, like, I don't know who Rangers will go and get, but I wouldn't be caught up in this. Well, Derek McInnes knows the league, right? Of course he knows the league. He's managed here for a long time. Good, experienced manager, starting to get Kilmarnock moving the right way. The Aberdeen manager's been in Scotland for 3 months and he's been absolutely brilliant. So if you do your homework, the right person is out there. They don't have to be Rangers men. I'm sorry, I don't buy into this nonsense, right? Rangers have got one of the biggest diehard Rangers supporters on their coaching staff, and a guy used to work here, Alec Ray. Nobody's a bigger fan than Alec Ray. So they don't need these so-called Rangers men in the dugout. They need a manager that knows how to manage a football club and take players forward.
Ali, where do you stand though on the argument that says Rangers can't afford to sack Philippe Clement currently? You're saying you want it to happen under, you know, any circumstances, or do you take the finances into account?
Well, the finances have been a disaster since Kashinia left. I mean, he had guys who were supposedly on 20, 30 grand a week at that time. And after that, we still somehow managed to back further managers. Van Bronckhorst a little bit, Beale especially got backed as well. So, you know, finances are as bad as they've been over the last few years. I think, to be fair, we should still be in a position financially where we can get rid of this guy and bring somebody new in, because if the fans don't start appearing and, you know, start boycotting going to games, that's also going to have a financial impact as well. I think to salvage money coming in, they actually need to make the decision so the fans don't just turn their back.
So can't afford to keep them, basically, would be your argument.
Yeah, that would be, yeah.
Interesting. Thanks very much to Ali. Speaking of money, how does this sound for you? Tomorrow is the day we pay out £500,000. Just imagine it. You're just in, you're raiding the kids' Halloween bags. You're just sitting there, monkey nuts and fun size Mars bars coming out your ears, and then you get the call, £500,000. That is the reality for someone, but only if you're in the draw. Text yes to 61025. Texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter on our website for 250 or call 0330 880 4523, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is over 18s only, and all the rules for this Rail Network competition are on our website. There is no phrase or amount to remember. You don't need to pick up within the five rings, but the lines close at 5 p.m. tomorrow, so don't leave it that late. Just imagine the thought of it going out your head and what could have been. We don't want to be there. So answer your phone. The £500,000 is yours, straight into your bank after the call, and it's a guaranteed winner. Someone will end tomorrow £500,000 richer. Make sure it's you. 61025 on the text. Text yes. Good luck.
It's Halloween. Share your footballing fears.
Who you gonna call?
Clyde One. With Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. They know all about 90-minute nightmares. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One. Super Scareboard.
I heard you've got a fantastic Halloween outfit for Beat the Pundit tonight.
Yeah, I have.
So I was a bit late into the office today, but rumours are circulating
that
you've got a Halloween outfit. Look, you said you didn't want to do it for the start of the show because you wanted to be serious tonight. You wanted to discuss Rangers' woes, but for Beat the Pundit, you're going to dress up for us.
I think you've got to join in. You know what I mean? It's Halloween, once a year. Join in, be part of it, have fun.
Listen, well, we're only 10 minutes away. I can't wait. Let's stick to the serious stuff, though, that you are so desperate for at the start with Craig in the Gorbals. How's it going, Craig?
Hi, Fano, how you doing? All right, happy Halloween, Gordon. I'm really disappointed you're not wearing that hat tonight. You looked great in it last time.
Yeah, hey, Craig.
Don't worry, he's got a surprise for you. Beat the
tune in, it gets better.
Don't you worry. Craig, to bring the tone down for you, how do you sum up where Rangers are at the moment?
To be honest with you, I'm kind of, it's not even angry, I'm just kind of a bit fed up. It seems we've been talking about this for a long time. We're obviously in a really, really bad place. I'll take it back to when Clement mentioned the whole moral victory against Celtic. That was the first major red flag for me. And I kind of, it's just kind of snowballed from there. I think we've totally digressed under this manager. And I think Chris Boyd put it into context last night in regards to new players in the building and how much money has been spent. Jimmy Tilleen's been in the exact same position. Spent $2 million, sold their best player, and look where they are. Clement keeps going on about new players in the building. They've been in since the summer, from last season, like Diamande and Cortez. It's past being fed up now. I think the manager needs to go. The other question is whether we can do that or not, but I think when the fans turn and the majority have, there's no coming back for that. And just on his kind of comments post-match, they're totally delusional. Talking about toenails and Harry Potter novels, and it's just ridiculous. The guy doesn't have a clue at all.
So you think that point of no return's definitely been reached? Because you're right, there would be valid, at least, discussions to have about who makes this decision currently, because John Gilligan is in a difficult position, obviously. He's the interim chairman. There is no CEO. So what does that decision-making process look like? Financially, can you pull it off? And then what does the process of hiring a new manager look like? So I think those are at least legitimate concerns, Craig. But you think then it's so bad that none of that is as important, really, as making a change?
No, you're spot on. John Gilligan publicly backed Clement 3-4 weeks ago. So I think obviously he puts himself in that position. Obviously we know the issues with the board, but you know, it's like any club, when the fans turn, I don't see there's any coming back for that at all. The results have been bad, the performances have been bad, there's no style of play. The players that he brought in aren't good enough, and I think Gordon Dale made that a really good point. See, technical ability aside, see if you're not willing to run and shut players down. Like, kids are coached that from 5-year-old up. If you're not willing to do that, then we don't have any hope at all. In regards to the whole decision-making, that you need to throw that into the mix as well. That adds to this issue as well. So I think don't think he will be sacked, because I don't think we're in a position to. We don't have the people in place to do that, but if he is to stay, it's going to turn toxic. I think there'll be people not turn up to Ibrox. It'll be really interesting to see how many fans are there on Sunday. But for me, I like to give people benefit of the doubt and give them time. But I can't remember the last time I lost patience with a manager. So for me, he needs to go. And again, the guy who came in for me would be Derek McInnes.
You just wonder what it looks like, Mark, or how it plays out. Again, I know it doesn't feel like it. Rangers will be favourites to beat Motherwell.
Yeah.
There will be, based on whatever you like, bookmakers' odds or whatever, there will be more chance of Rangers beating Motherwell than not at the weekend. But then what does that do? Does that, are we in sort of kick the can down the road territory? Or let's say it doesn't work out that way. Let's say Motherwell win. How does this become a different conversation on Monday? What's it going to take, I suppose, ultimately?
I don't think the result in Sunday will have any bearing. I think either way, I've got a feeling that the people who run Rangers at the minute, their mind will be made up. But I don't think they'll remove Philip Clement before Sunday. I think they'll let that play out. But you've got enough evidence of what the manager's brought over this year to kind of see where it's going in the future. And when we've had how many, 10 caught or something like that, it gives you a snapshot of what the fans think. That'll be replicated, I guess, at Hampden on Sunday with the crowd that's there. There is not a good feeling about the club at the minute and about the manager and about the style of play. So something's got to be done about that. And
just on that note, talking about Hampden and going back there, someone has sent me a link. McGurzy has tweeted a video of the Rangers players celebrating, jumping up and down at Hampden, except it's the Super Scoreboard music that they're dancing to. They're very creative out there. I mean, obviously I can't quite hear it right now, but I can see I can figure out that that's what's going on.
Here's another quick point, right? I listened to the manager and Craig brought it up there. He's talking about, well, get new players coming into the building, right? We need time to settle in and all the nonsense that goes with it. What were they last night? 7-8 players inherited in the starting 11? So how's that new players?
Well, that's the thing though, but that's the point then. Everything seems to be wrong, because that then tells you, based on last night specifically, that you don't really trust the recruitment either.
Yeah.
Whereas at the weekend, maybe you can use the new players' excuse, except you can't, because Aberdeen have got new players as well. So it's a combination of things.
I said on Tuesday to you, Gordon, in the show, that I thought Aberdeen, you asked the question, who's the favourites tonight? Okay, the bookies always give it to Rangers.
You did, you called it.
And I said Aberdeen.
I think you're on fire this week.
I am on fire. Look, did I expect... I looked at Rangers and thought, yeah, you can go up there and get a result, but you have to be at it. You've got to be up for it. Do you know what really annoys me about Rangers just now? I watched the warm-up last night, and they come out that, you know, doing the warm-up.
Is there seriously something wrong with the warm-up now?
No.
Remember he had a season that was a bit warm-up? He's back to warm-ups.
This is my pet hate, honestly. Right. And I watched it against Celtic at Celtic Park as well. They all go over to each other and they give each other a big high fives and the cuddles and the come ons.
That is nitpicking now.
Right. And then see when the whistle goes, I'm thinking, where is that togetherness that they had 10, 15, 20 minutes ago? I bet they all cuddle each other and that day. Oh, you're wonderful. You're wonderful. Let's go. Blah, blah, blah. The minute you get over that white line, the players have also got to take responsibility.
He's not happy, on one, by the way.
He's in good form. Thank you to Craig and the Gorbals. And it's time for us to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
A bit of light humour to come inside a hugely serious show. We're going to play Beat the Pundit, the chance to win a signed ball, the chance to get one over on Mark Wilson or Gordon DL. And he has been promising that he's going to wear some sort of Halloween costume for tonight's Beat the Pundit. I actually don't know if I believe him, because you can't believe anything he says, but find out if he does, and your chance to beat the pundit if you call before 7 o'clock.
It's Halloween. Trick or tweet?
Who you gonna call?
Clyde One.
Or call 0141 951 1025. Inside your radio, Envision on Twitter, and face Spook. Clyde One Super Scareboard.
This is a proper low for the proud history of this show. Gordon DL has got his Halloween outfit on. For those of you in the live stream, I hope you can appreciate it. For those of you listening in radio, he's dressed as a massive chicken. He's got some sort of...
He's fallen off his chair. Oh, this is it. This is the worst. This is a real low. A real, real low point, I have to say. Look at the state of this guy. Are you alright?
The chicken's hatched.
It's an inflatable chicken outfit. I think he's burst it.
Oh, chicken.
What's going on?
What's that noise?
That's his pump, because it's to keep him inflated. This is remarkable.
Oh my.
This started off real serious discussion tonight about Rangers and Philippe Clement.
Did you get that on camera?
And he's dressed as a massive chicken. Time to play Beat the Pundit.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, it is Beat the Pundit time, like you've never seen it before, with Gordon DL dressed in his Halloween outfit. And quite frankly, this show can't get any worse tonight. So let's see how we get on with tonight's contestant. Do you think this will enhance or take anything away from your performance tonight?
Oh no, I'm concentrating.
Will it take anything away from your performance, Mark Wilson?
I'm not playing tonight.
I don't know who's I don't know whose beak's bigger. The chickens are mine.
Gary is in Belsill. How are you, Gary?
I'm not bad.
Somebody turn his mic off.
It's an absolute racket. Sorry, Gary. His chicken outfit is too big for his seat. If you can't beat a man dressed as an inflatable chicken, you really need to give this up. That's the pressure that's on you tonight.
I don't feel any pressure.
Good man. Pressures for tyres and all that. There's a bit of pressure in that chicken outfit. I don't know how this is going.
How much is that?
It's
Is this costume or your belly?
You want some eggs for tomorrow?
I think it really has to be you playing. It really has to be you playing dressed like that.
Aye, go for it, the chicken.
That's true, actually. He's going to be able to hear me because he can't get his headphones on.
Right, toss your coins, see what happens.
Right, okay. If it's heads, it will be Mark Wilson. If it's tails, it will be the chicken. And it is. It's the tails. It's the chicken. It's the colonel.
Right. Okay. Right.
I can't get you
off. KFC.
Right, turn his mic off or something, will we? So we don't need to hear him thrashing around. Right, Gary, it's pretty straightforward. You've got you've got 30 seconds.
Just I need music.
Just answer as many questions as you can and pass if you don't know the answer, Gary, okay?
Right.
Right, you're 30 seconds going on the clock and your time starts now. True or false, James Tavernier was born on Halloween?
False.
What Ross County striker has the nickname The Wolf?
Jordan White.
The Terrors are the nickname of which Scottish team?
Pass.
Who was bottom of the Scottish Premiership on Halloween last year?
Ross County.
Whose nickname is what's the nickname of Queen's Park?
The Spider.
Which Uruguayan striker is associated with biting people?
Luis Suarez.
Okay, let's bring him back. Gordon DL, can you hear us?
I can hear you now.
Good, same set of questions, all Halloween themed tonight.
Oh,
is it?
Yeah, you ready?
You'll be good at this.
If I'm passing, I'm quacking.
You're not a duck, you're a chicken.
What is a chicken?
The cluck.
Do? Cluck. Cluck. I'm cl- oh,
you're
clucking.
A clucker.
I'm, right, okay. Right. See if I won this tonight, he can chuck it.
Right, you ready? Same set of questions. Your time starts now. True or false, James Tavernier was born on Halloween?
True.
What Ross County striker is nicknamed The Wolf?
White.
The Terrors are the nickname of which Scottish team?
Dundee United.
Who was bottom of the Scottish Premiership last Halloween?
Livingston.
What's the nickname of Queen's Park?
The pass.
Which Uruguayan striker is associated with biting people?
Suarez.
True or false, Michael Myers is currently a player at Arbroath?
Correct.
True.
Yeah.
Gary, how do you think it went?
Spiders.
I think it went alright.
Too late.
Spiders.
You're about 5 minutes too late on the spiders. Right, let's go through them and find out. True or false, James Tavernier was born on Halloween. Would you have gone for that, Mark?
No.
It is true.
Is it?
Yeah, James Tavernier born.
You know, you're James Tavernier
on Halloween. It's his birthday. Happy birthday. I'm sure he's having a lovely day after last night. So 1-0 Gordon DL. I don't even know, is this his nickname or does he just do the celebration or whatever? But Eamon Brophy.
Yeah, it's a wolf.
A wolf.
It's not a white
celebration.
The white wolf.
Both of them said Jordan White.
Did they?
Yeah, they did.
I knew it was Brophy.
I can't believe I didn't get spiders. That was silly.
Eamon Brophy. The Terrors are Dundee United.
Ah, yeah.
2-0 to the chicken, yeah, in the corner. Who was bottom of the Scottish Premiership last Halloween? St Johnstone. Difficult, that. Very difficult. I don't know how you're supposed to get that. The nickname of Queen's Park is the Spiders. Gary got it.
I made a mess, yeah.
He's pulled one back. Which Uruguayan striker is associated with biting people? Luis Suarez. Did you get that?
Aye,
got
that.
You got it as well?
Aye.
Oh, I thought you didn't get it.
He got that.
I won.
You won. Michael Michael Myers.
He's been beat by a chicken.
In a shocking turn of events, Michael Myers
he'll
is
get
not
down in history. He's getting beat by a chicken by himself.
How does that make you feel, Gary?
You'll never eat an egg again.
I can't believe I've been beat by a chicken, but I don't know much about Tavernier, to be honest, because he's a serial loser. But.
Well, listen, Gary, you've lost tonight as well, and I have to say, I don't know which one of the producers in there have put the caption on the live stream where it says Gary and Belsell 2 Gobble DL. We're calling you questionable if you ask me.
Right, I need to get
I have to say. Did we think that one through?
No, I don't think so. I think
have people thought that through before typing it on the live stream?
No. And I think gobble's today with turkey. Anyway, yeah. Is it no chicken? Or I might have just thought Gordon DL.
It's definitely the first one I would have stayed clear of, I have to say.
Well done, the producers. That's brilliant. By the way, what's happening with the pump here? I can hear it.
I know, I'm trying to get it off.
You try to
deflate
try
yourself.
Deflate myself, I don't know how to do it.
You want me to stick this pen in?
Aye.
Oh, that was good. Good performance, mate, by the way. Because it's going to be easy. Can it be easy dressed as a chicken
outfit off and
just
get it
keep on.
Another victory.
By the way, you're in unbelievable form. What is that? Eight in a row, is it?
Yeah. Even one is a chicken.
Mark, I feel like you've not played in ages.
Wait. No wonder.
Look, I feel like you've not played in a long time.
No, I've not played in a long time. How many times are you going to fall off that chair?
Well, a chicken doesn't sit in a chair, does it?
Anyway.
The chicken fall off the chair.
Brilliant, brilliant. He's done well, so he has, because that couldn't have been easy there.
Yeah,
no, he's a good sport.
He kept his composure well, and make sure to check out the live stream if you want to see real footage of this chicken in all his glory.
That's good.
But we'll let him derobe and he'll join us back in a second.
He's got the shoes off actually as well.
I'm sure we'll get back to go looking at where Rangers went wrong. Give us a bit more credit for Aberdeen, because that sometimes gets lost in all of this.
Well, I think it has in the first part of the show, because the big story is about the state of Rangers. But we've got to really seriously look at Aberdeen now and what they've become. And a couple of weeks ago when I wasn't on last week, we had the Aberdeen fan. I think he was having a go at me because he was thinking I was saying Aberdeen hadn't played anybody. I didn't say that. I said it was really tough to do what they had done in terms of winning games in a row. I think it was 9 or 10 at that point, maybe even more. But they still had to face Celtic, Rangers, Celtic in the semi-final. So it was going to be a big period. It was going to tell us a lot what we needed to know about Aberdeen. And to this point, they've bypassed what I thought they could do. Going to Celtic Park, bouncing back for 2-0 down with such an impressive performance was great. And then I'm thinking, is that a one-off? Can they really deal with the pressure? And it is big pressure on their shoulders, because it's a sellout and they have to deal with Rangers coming up in the mess that they are, and then putting on a performance, and they've certainly done that. So Jimmy Thielen, his coaching staff and his players, they're all in this together. You know, it's not just one man, it's making everything tick, but he has to take a lot of credit. They have been exceptional this season, and by the way, they're a good watch as well. It's not just they're getting results and grinding out results, they are a good watch, entertaining team, loads of energy, look forward and play forward at all times. Well done to them.
We keep asking it, Gordon, then, what sort of staying power do they have near the top? Because we keep asking as if it's going to stop at some point soon, and yet there's still no sign of it.
I said about 3 or 4 weeks ago I didn't fancy them to split Celtic and Rangers. I may take that back now after watching them. Look, they'll need
may take it back.
Yeah, yeah.
So not quite convinced yet.
No, I think there's still a bit to go. We always look in sort of games in the last four games. We were talking about, right, as Mark said, and he wasn't being disrespectful, saying, well, they've not really played anybody. They had Celtic, Dundee United, Rangers, and Celtic. They've come by everyone with flying colours. You know, even at Celtic Park when they were 2-0 down, showed great character second half, scored a late winner, kept going against Dundee United, and then obviously a terrific result last night. They've got a good squad. I think they've got to keep the key players fit. The most important thing, if they can keep everybody fit. It's not just on the park. I was talking to James McFadden today, and he spoke about the atmosphere at Pittodrie last night was the best he's ever heard. So the fans are buying into it. The entertainment before it, the club's buying into it. So everybody's together, supporters, players, management staff, all the way up the club. And the club is in a good place. And then he gets to January, and he'll certainly going to be backed in January, but he could not have dreamt of a better start.
That's a good point, sorry, just to come in about January. Because his recruitment's been good. You know, the players that he's brought in have really made a difference. So if you're an Aberdeen fan just now, and we've seen it with Postecoglou, when Postecoglou's recruitment was good right away, the Celtic fans immediately just buy into that. Ange is in control, and it's the same with Jimmy Thielen. And for Ange Postecoglou had a lot of failures within his recruitment strategy as well. But they kind of got forgotten about, because you get a couple of gems. And I think Thielen's on the right track there. And, you know, you wouldn't blame the board for just going, on you go, do your thing in January, strengthen and get us over the line. But if he can keep in touch until January, that will be really interesting come the second part of the season.
Yeah, Gordon is on the line. What's your take on it all, Gordon?
Just from the call earlier on, guys, there was a guy who phoned in and said no Rangers fan would back the manager. I was actually against Clement before, but to me the only thing that's saving them just now is a couple of European games. They played really well against Malmo and they played really well against the Romanians. We got rid of Van Bronckhorst far too early. We gave Steven Gerrard 3 seasons till he got the league. We should at least give Clement to the end of the season. As much as folk might dislike that, we should do it. We're in a mess. What's the point of getting rid of a manager? The other thing as well, McInnes is not the answer. What's McInnes done at Kilmarnock? They get booted out of Europe early, so not good enough. To me, they should stick with the manager just now. We've got a chance to get into a cup final, albeit it's not the Scottish Cup, it's a League Cup. We've got a chance to get into a cup final. We've got another European game coming up. I just think it's bizarre that we can turn it on for European games and then we're absolutely garbage in the domestic games. It's weird.
See, the longer this goes on, though, Gordon, is it not the case maybe that those games are actually just the outliers? Is that not more of a difficulty? Because I'm not in the business of trying to take it away from Rangers. We gave them credit at the time and they deserved it. But Bucharest, they weren't great. And then, you know, Rangers score early in Malmo and well done to them. And they got their tails up and all that sort of stuff. But if it's two in a season of, you know, however many games Rangers have played overall, do they not look like the exceptions to the rule rather than something to keep clinging on to?
No, it's just a weird thing. We seem to play two different styles of games. It seems to be in Europe, Rangers get more room and a chance to play, whereas in the Scottish game, it's a lot quicker, it's a lot faster, but his tactics are wrong. He needs to change and get back to the drawing board regarding what's happening. It's not just... I don't just blame Clement. The players, they really took a look at themselves. I don't know, shocking. I mean, that last night, I'm a very, very big fan of Tavernier, but last night it was disgusting. He's not fit enough. He's not quick enough. He tapped the ball onto the Aberdeen player, and that was the cause of a goal. Not good enough. The guy was a legend. Let him go. To me, he's done. And everybody that's a Rangers fan sees that. And Celtic are having a good laugh at us just now, quite rightly so. Well, credit to Celtic. They're playing the better football they deserve. And Aberdeen as well. Aberdeen can split the two. If we continue to do what we're doing just now, it's not good enough, but changing the manager is not going to help much. I really don't think it will.
Yeah, I don't mind it, Gordon. I like to hear someone to give us the opposite view and say that Philippe Clement should stay. I just wonder, though, that the notion, this is the Gordon DL, you know, that it's end of the season, sort of no matter what. How feasible is that?
Look, can he turn it around? Of course managers can turn it around, but I can't see the signs that it's going to happen, Gordon. I think instead of getting better, it's getting worse. The big problem, and I totally take on board what Gordon's talking about there, saying, look, what's the point in getting rid of him? In Europe, he's been okay in the last couple of games. He's got a chance to get into a cup final. There's no point getting rid of him. The fans will decide that, because if the fans stop going along, and let's be honest, the football is dreadful under Clement. It's dreadful, right? And fans will switch off from that. Now, you can argue the point, well, they've got the season ticket money, whatever it may be. But it's not just that. Fans get along and spend a lot of money in match day as well. So that would be a big loss. Look, the minute the fans start going against you, and I know Gordon's won for them, and there might be others out there exact same. I've not got a problem with that. But the majority of the Rangers fans have switched off, right? I totally take on board and I agree with him 100%. I think that there's a lot of players in that team need to get a real good look at theirself.
Gordon, if it was to get to the case where it really looked like, you know, third place was happening or sleepwalking towards that, or second place was seriously in danger, would that still not be enough? You would just say end of the season?
No, well, okay, if that's different. If it comes after Christmas and that, then it's definitely a riot after that. I'd probably change my opinion then. But I just think, and I felt very much for Van Bronckhorst when we get rid of him. It's far too early. And seriously, Gerrard, 3 seasons. And he was the same. He was having howler results as well. And then he eventually got the title. So to me, just picking one manager, continually changing managers, isn't the answer. But I really don't. I mean, there's a lot of fans on tonight saying McInnes. I wouldn't touch McInnes. He turned his down before. I wouldn't take him. Yes, he's a very good manager with very little money. But I wouldn't take McInnes. I think that would be a backward step. Gordon DL made the point. There's other managers in. There's loads of guys who probably have a lot better credentials than McInnes are out there. So I would not touch McInnes. He is not the answer. If we do lose, come on. And I agree with what Gordon DL says. Fans have got power and they can stay away. They won't buy tickets. They won't buy any strips and stuff like that, scarves and things out the shop and things, that they'll start pulling away. I completely agree with that. It's a product, and if people aren't happy, they're going to keep their money in their pocket. But we've got to, I don't know the answer. I really just don't think McInnes is the answer. People say get McInnes. No, I think we'd see him again.
Mark, actually, the point Gordon makes about Rangers continually sacking a manager every autumn cannot be sustainable. There is no way you can build it like that. You just can't, because then the next guy will come in, things will improve slightly, Celtic will win the league, Celtic will spend, Rangers will struggle in the summer, Rangers will start next season poorly, we'll have this conversation again. That can't keep happening. But then, on the other hand,
how do you break that cycle?
If you know, things are as bad as other fans say, Gordon's got a bit more faith.
I think you can lose the league. You certainly can lose the league if fans see progression and they see a picture and they see an identity to the club, and they're willing then to give that time. They're entertained. Daz and Gordon on the line are saying that they go along, they pay a lot of money because they want to enjoy what they're watching. They want to see their team win, of course, but they want to enjoy it. And if you scrape through a few results by not playing well, fine. So I think that is sustainable, and you lose the league, fine, okay, it's building blocks. However, when you aren't winning, you're getting poor results, you're not enjoying what you're witnessing, you don't see a pathway going forward, then that's when I think you do need to sever the ties. But how do you replace or who do you recruit? Because Philippe Clement, we all heard that when he came in, he'd managed abroad, he'd won. We were sitting on the show, we were saying, what do Rangers need? They need a manager that knows how to win, who's won titles before. They don't need another Michael Beale. They don't need a coach like him. They need a manager. And we all thought Philippe Clement was going to be that. Turns out he's not. So it's an incredibly difficult place that John Gilligan's in and the rest of the Rangers board are in just now. Because if they get rid of him, they need to have a plan to get someone else. Who is that someone else?
0141 951 1025. Get your suggestions in right now and we'll speak to you next.
It's Halloween. Share your footballing fears. Who you gonna call? Clyde One. With Gordon DL and Mark Wilson. They know all about 90-minute nightmares. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One. Super Scareboard.
Gordon DL is back as himself. He has ditched the chicken outfit. He's filing a claim against Clyde One Super Scoreboard after falling off the chair dressed in the inflatable chicken outfit. But he's here, Mark Wilson alongside him, and wanting to talk football with you. You get absolutely no Halloween prizes for guessing the top topic, and I can still see the phone calls, the phone lines lighting up to discuss Rangers' situation at the moment. If you want to change the subject, Celtic fans, what did you make of the, I guess, a lot more routine victory against Dundee last night? Where are you, Motherwell fans, up to fourth? How are you feeling ahead of the weekend's semi-final? Still Edinburgh at the bottom. Hearts turn again to prop up the rest of the table. So 0141 951 1025. Let's ask. I've got a good teaser for you tonight. A bit different, right, as well, because there are 12 answers. Okay.
Okay.
I'm just going to see how many you can get. It's quite a difficult question. You don't have to get all 12. Just going to see how many you get between now, okay, and the end of the show.
Right.
Really well thought out, this one. The Crazy Pony sent it in.
Oh, the Crazy Pony's good.
And you're going to have to know something about Mark Wilson and Gordon DL to get this question right.
Oh, no.
Can you name 8 of Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates who've played for a club that Gordon DL played for? You like that?
Stevie Crawford, Dundee United.
Can you... Just incapable of listening.
Is it not?
Can you name 8 of Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates?
A Celtic, right, okay.
Who've played for a club that Gordon DL played for.
Or played for a club. Right, okay.
Kenny Miller.
Oh, yeah. Was he a teammate of yours?
Mm-hmm.
Was he? Okay.
Played for Rangers and Partick Thistle, of course.
Oh, aye, that's clubs of yours.
Hold on a minute.
He's just the answer to
that's
every teaser, though.
That's a different ball game.
Yeah, Kenny's always in the wind.
Yeah.
So, oh, hold on.
8 of Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates who've played for a club that Gordon DL played for. So let's get out in the open. I don't think it matters. So you're basically looking for 8 players that play, or sorry, however many you can There are 12 in total. However many of Mark's Celtic teammates can you name that played for Rangers or Raith or Partick or Man City or
Ayr?
Ayr.
Oh, Ayr. Uh-huh. Right, Willow Flood. Man City.
Did he ever play for the first team?
I thought he did. Mm. I'm taking out because you're asking. No, he's not just, on the
he's
list.
He's not on crazy players.
Okay, Georges Samaras.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
I think Willow Flood did actually as well, but never mind. Okay. We'll have a look.
Right, come on. Who?
Nobody played for Raith, did they?
Nah, they wouldn't have been that bad in my time.
No.
Flood should be on there, Barton, surely.
Aye, Flood.
Flood should be on there, yeah. 14 City appearances. Quick. Any more? So, we're looking for Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates that have played for a club that Gordon DL played for. Kenny Miller.
Scott McDonald. Played for Thistle.
He should be on there.
He should
the
be on there.
Crazy Pony's
well.
Not that good tonight.
Come on, Pony. Crazy, try and keep up.
The Crazy
Giddy
Pony
up.
Used to be incredible. What's happened here? What's happened?
Well, Scott McDonald.
What, Beach? Did you play with Beats?
I played with Beats.
Well, Beats played with Ayr and
Thistle.
Oh,
so he did.
Right, just Ayr, great Beatty's on the list. Well done. Let's bring in Nadim, who's a Rangers fan. We've had a little bit of balance eventually, Nadim. It took a long time to find a Rangers fan who says Philippe Clement should not go. What's your take on it?
Hey, hi Gordon. Hi Mark. Hi Gordon. I'm afraid I'm with the majority here, Gordon. I just feel that I totally appreciate a point you made earlier on, Gordon. I thought it was a good point about, you know, Rangers can't go into a cycle with every autumn they get a new manager, and I understand that. However, what I would say is a couple of points I'd like to make was, one was around, you were talking about can Rangers, you know, afford to get rid of Clement, not financially, but afford to get rid of him as in where we are in the season. You can't keep a manager just because there's no other, you feel maybe there's no other better managers out there. That's not a reason why you keep a manager in place. You can't keep going from one stumbling block to another just because you maybe think, oh, there's nobody better out there. There will always be someone better out there. There will always be someone who can take a club forward. And for me, that isn't Clement at the moment. The main point I made to the producer there, Gordon, was around, we talked about Michael Beale, you know, who was here before, who was meant to be a great coach, but maybe not a great manager as such. I think it's the opposite for Clement. You know, Clement was brought in, you know, he's meant to be, you know, a good manager, won titles and cups in previous clubs and so on. But he's taken us back. He's not a good coach. You see that on the pitch. The players don't know when to press, when not to press. He's made players that were not bad last season worse this season. There seems to be, we've said this for many times, there's no identity. You see with Aberdeen last night, they were prepared for Rangers to have the ball and hitting the counter. They had pace up front. We have none of that. You know, but I know we've got injuries, but we don't have great pace. You can probably hear my voice, I'm getting angry, but some of these decisions last night, Gordon, taking off Berami and putting on Hadji. Do you know, Berami was our best player. He scored a great goal last night. Why would you take him off? I don't understand it. You could see after about half an hour, 45 minutes, saying in the first half, that Dessers wasn't going to get anywhere near the Aberdeen goal. He still kept him on, you know, for the full game. Some of his decision-making for me is pathetic, if I'm honest. And the quicker we get him out, Ibrox the better. And, you know, for come on, if he is miraculous listening to this call, I would say a minor step on your way out of Ibrox. Come on, you need to go.
You do sound pretty angry, Nadim. Has this just been building up and just sort of last night, you know, made it much worse, I guess?
It's not just last night, Gordon. It's been going for a while now, you know. And I think the reason why he's been kept at the club for so long now, I think, is because of such turmoil at the top level with the board, that the board are maybe incapable just now making a decision because there's no CEO. We've got an interim chairman, but, you know, John Gill needs to step up and just say, you know what, I need to make a decision here. He's leading the club just now in the interim. Just make that decision and get rid of him. But because there's been such leadership lacking at the top level, Clement has been allowed to get away with what he's been getting away with so far.
It is unavoidable, Mark, and I think you'd have a level of sympathy because I wouldn't speak on behalf of anyone, but you can imagine a scenario where John Gilligan is comfortable at coming in and helping steady Rangers where everything's ongoing. You're just not expecting that so quickly in amongst that period people are then saying that, you know, the manager must go. There's also not a CEO. So John Gilligan's the acting chairman. The CEO would be running the club on a day-to-day basis. So I genuinely don't know. Is that enough to prevent? I mean, it's still a big football club with a functioning club board, whether it looks the way it should or not. Does that reduce the likelihood that they would take the decision to sack Philippe Clement?
I think it does. And it shows the importance of people holding these roles and choosing the correct people to be in place at the right times. So obviously Rangers missing a CEO was massive, and the crowd were right to, in a sense, to unfurl banners about how it's been run. Because when it boils down to on the pitch not being good enough, then they need people to take action. And I do have sympathy for John Gilligan, because he has been the spokesman for the past couple of months. He's out there, there's nobody else, and he's had to front up. But what I don't think, or didn't think he was expecting, is this to come around so soon, where a decision needs to be made. Like, I've no doubt they must be speaking about it. The board must be speaking about it. But it's okay speaking about it and removing the manager. You've got to have the next step in place. I don't know what that looks like. Only they would know what that looks like. But that's where a CEO comes into play. That's where a structure to your football clubs falls into place. When things go wrong and you've got people that can take up certain roles and buy you time, I don't know if Rangers have that at the minute. Well, I don't know. They don't have that at the minute. They don't have a structure in place. If they remove the manager and the full coaching team, who takes over?
Okay, thank you to Nadim. You can hear the frustration in Nadim's voice. Let's, for the first time, 25-8. There's a caller on about something else.
Oh,
can you believe it?
Your chicken suit.
Your chicken suit. Joe's a Celtic fan. What's on your mind tonight, Joe?
How you doing, Gordon and Mark?
Good.
I'm just listening to Dazzer early talking about Kyogo. I'm a great Kyogo fan, but I've flown in a few times. I think Gordon talked about Adam Ida. And, you know, just looking at the chances converted to the chances that he's had, I think Big Ida's far in front of him. And I know people turn around and say, oh, but Kyogo gets into these sort of positions. After all, he's got the same amount of goals as Alistair Johnston this year. And I'm just worried, you know, that it's going to come back to bite us one of these times. You know, the ones he missed all night there, they're two setters. I could have put them in. My grandpa could have scored them.
Yeah, Gordon, I think part of that would be fair. It always becomes much less of an issue. Celtic won last night. Didn't cost them. Celtic win pretty much all their domestic games. They had a good 0-0 away and, you know, Atalanta. Is there anything just slightly beneath that surface? Is Kyogo a bit off form in front of goal?
Well, he certainly missed, I don't know about two, but one of them was unbelievable. How he didn't even hit the target was beyond me. Kyogo, I think, is a terrific player. I think his movement's good. I think what I like about Kyogo is, even if he's having a poor run, seeing the big games, he comes alive in the big games. You know, the Rangers games, cup finals at Hampden. And that's why he'll certainly play on Saturday against Aberdeen. I think Ida's still injured. But he comes alive in the big games. And you can't take that away from him. You know, and I think you'd much rather have that. Yes, he's been disappointing in front of goals probably since the start of the season. He's probably looking for a lot more of a return. There's still plenty of time to come. He'll still get a lot of chances, especially with the two wide men in the midfield that he's got behind him and the two fullbacks overlapping as well. So when you're playing just now in a Celtic team as a centre forward, as much as you're thinking, well, I need to score more goals, the one thing you can be confident is you're going to get the opportunity because you're going to get plenty of chances. So I wouldn't be too worried about Kyogo just now. I don't think he's the same form as he has been, but as I keep going back to it, the one thing he's got a great habit of for Celtic is when it comes to the big games, he steps up.
Any concerns for you, Mark?
Not really. I thought Ida was brought to the club to battle out with Kyogo and they both maybe play equal game time. I just think it's the way Brendan Rodgers sees the challenge, what lies ahead of him in that certain game. So in Atalanta, that he thought Ida was the right option and Kyogo get a run of games. I think Ida will come into it when he's back fit and he might get a run of games as well. But I think both of them, to be fair to them, you take away the goals, and I know strikers are there to score goals, and that grabs headlines, that's what they're paid for. But I think both of them give a lot to the team as well, out with the goal scoring. And maybe Kyogo just edges that in terms of his work rate and link, a wee bit better than Ida. and maybe that gets you through a bit. But of course, with Celtic, that's right. You've got an embarrassment of riches that if he's not scoring.
We don't know the extent of Adam Eda's injury.
But they've got others that will chip in. The opposite of what Rangers are at the minute. They've got midfielders, they've got right backs now chipping in. So Kyogo slightly gets away with it. But he won't, any good striker, he won't want to go too long without hitting the back in the net again.
What do you think, Joe?
No, I see where the panel's coming for there, Gordon. I think Dazzler should know better than him, Dave. And your confidence, you're not putting the ball in the back of the net. You know, your confidence drops. I know what they're saying about Kyogo, but I'm just worried. I'm just worried. I don't think he's the same player this year. I think there's something there. I see him. They chances the other night there. 19 out of 10, he'd put them in the back of the net. And as I said before, I just don't think by Adam Eda, when you look at the chances he's had, and I'm not going to rain my mouth, but any time I've seen him one-on-one with a goalkeeper, 99% are in the back of the net.
I'd be more worried. See, if you look at the two goal scorers just now, there's Shankland at Hearts, right? I'd rather be Kyogo. Shankland's no scoring goals. He scored one this season, missed a good chance last night. He's a terrific finisher, Shankland. I like Shankland. But if I was getting the choice, I'd be Kyogo all day long because I know that Celtic will create more chances. I don't think his confidence will be low. I think he'll be disappointed. But the great thing about it is you're playing with a team that scores goals for fun, especially at Celtic Park. They'll create chances for fun. So eventually it'll turn for you. Whereas if you're playing with a struggling team like Shankland's playing now with Hearts who are sitting bottom of the league, you're not getting the same volume of chances. So I would be a bit concerned then thinking, oh, when's my next goal going to come? But I keep going back to it. Celtic go to Hampden on Saturday, semi-final. This is when he comes alive.
Okay, thank you to Joe at 01419511025. On the teaser tonight, asking you to name as many as you can of Mark Wilson's former Celtic teammates who've played for a club that Gordon DL played for. Craig Beattie, Kenny Miller, Georgios Samaras, Willow Flood, Scott McDonald.
Hey, we forgot Sid, Simon Donnelly.
I didn't play with Sid.
Oh, near you did.
No. No.
Good. I played against Sid.
Good shout, though. Aidan McGeady, here.
Yes, well done.
Paul Slane, did he make a Celtic appearance? Yeah.
Yes.
Slaney, yeah.
Aidan Thistle, I think. Yeah.
Did he play for Thistle as well?
According to this list, I can only remember.
Yeah, he played with Thistle, yeah.
There you go.
I didn't know that. Yeah.
Brilliant. We'll get the rest of the answers next.
It's Halloween. Trick or tweet?
Who you gonna call?
Clyde One. Or call 0141 951 1025. Inside your radio. Envision on Twitter and face Spook. Clyde One Super Scareboard.
Gordon DL and Mark Wilson are here on 01419511025. We're into the final part, still time for you to squeeze some calls in if you fancy. Just a bit of fun on the teaser tonight. Can you name how many of Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates can you name who've played for a club that Gordon DL played for? So like Craig Beattie, Ayr United, Aidan McGeady, Ayr United, Kenny Miller, Rangers and Thistle, Georgios Samaras, Paul Slane, Willow Flood.
I'm going to go Paul Hartley.
Yep, he played for Raith.
Rovers. I see him every day, but I think he played for Rangers and Celtic. I don't know if he played first team. I don't know if you were goalkeeper Mark Brown.
Yes.
How do you see him every day?
He's at goes down and picks his kid up at school.
You're just thinking about school gates, don't you?
I hope it's him because I keep talking.
Right, Mark.
Alright, Brinzel.
We're almost at the end of tonight's show. What a quick show it's been. Clearly lots of reflections coming in on events at Pittodrie. We touched a bit on, you know, Kyogo before that. It was last night, Mark, just one of those games. Celtic fans, I don't think they'll remember it come the end of the season. It doesn't live long in the memory. You just get the job done and you move on, or?
Yeah, I think so. I think when Brendan Rodgers probably analyses it, like, he's right to make the changes in a way. Some Celtic fans might not see it that way because they want to go and just blow teams away in the first half. But he's got this big squad. They should be able to go out there and perform at a high enough level to get past Dundee. Now, if you need to go to the bench, that's part of having a big squad, and he did need to go to the bench. Maybe if he's learned, you know, Palma, how many chances is he going to be at the club for much longer past January or next summer's transfer window? I'm not quite sure. Yang might be another one. So he has to give them minutes. And did they stand out? Probably not. But he's had to go to the bench and they've performed. 3 points in the bag. Job well done. They created plenty of chances. Like you say, I don't think it's a night that Celtic fans will remember, but they all count.
Do you
from
not
the
think
end of
the big
season.
Interesting one, Mark, is with the IAD semi-final Saturday night, who his centre-half pairing's going to be? Because he left Scales out last night.
That'll be Scales.
Will Taylor come back in at left-back, stay in?
Yeah, you know, I think Taylor played with view the weekend.
Yeah.
I think Scales
rather
probably
trusted.
Merits a day off because he's been the one constant. I think it'll be Carter Vickers and Scales. But it's a good question.
Mm. We'll see at the weekend. The other standout results, Gordon, I think, you know, we spoke a bit at the top of the show about Kilmarnock, important for them. Heading into this weekend in the League Cup semis, your Motherwell team up to fourth, jumping above
Brilliant.
Dundee United.
Two difficult games. Dundee at home, a bit disappointing because I think we all fancied them the run they were on. Then obviously Celtic come calling to Fir Park, and that's a very difficult challenge indeed. But showed great character last night, got back to 1-1 and obviously got the winner, puts him up into four. You couldn't ask for a better start, you couldn't ask for better confidence, you couldn't ask for a better time than facing Rangers in the semi-final. Look, I think their wee problem is Liam Gordon still suspended, gone?
Not for the cup game.
Not for the cup.
But Stephen O'Donnell's now injured.
Yeah, and McGinn's
Paul
out.
McGinn's injured.
You know, which back at the defence, it leaves them a bit short.
Lennon Miller with the captain's armband last night.
But did he not come off as well? I'm sure he come off as well. He's been absolutely terrific. Look, they'll go to Hampden, and they'll never get a better opportunity. Rangers are probably, very low just now. Their manager, their players, everything. The fans are right on their back. They're expecting big things on Sunday. If they don't start well, have Rangers got the players that can, take that on board, and if they get the character to handle that? I would question that. So I think Stuart Kettlewell, who does his job really thorough, will look at this situation and think, do you know what? If there's ever a chance we can get to a final, it's certainly got to be on Sunday.
What about Kilmarnock, Mark? Because Neil Critchley had played or taken charge of three Hearts games, hadn't lost yet, had done pretty well, had home advantage. So I think, you know, maybe there was a suggestion there that amongst most people that would be a home win. Kilmarnock go a goal down as well, but kept 11 men on the pitch this time.
Exactly.
Which
Derek
McInnes will be happy about, and ended up winning Kyle Vassell, I think his first league goal of the season.
By the way, he was great last night. He bullied the Hearts back line. No end. They'll be sick of the sight of him. But that's what you need up front. You need somebody like that you can get your more mobile players round about, and they've certainly done that. But Kilmarnock are a good side. Daz says it earlier. And a couple of the callers have mentioned Derek McInnes. You know what you're getting. You know the structure of the team, what you're getting, how he sets up. And of course, things have went against him this year. It's not helped going down to 10 men quite a lot as well. That's where a couple of the poorer results have come into play. But if he keeps that team together and he keeps them on the pitch, they will cause teams problem. That was a great result. I don't think many would have seen that one coming. Probably a draw, if you'd asked me before, it would have been what I went for. But well done, Kelly.
Starting to climb that table, Gordon.
Yeah, I think I've got them top four to finish top four, and I was a bit concerned at the start of the season. They were right down the bottom of the table, Gordon, and they were really, really struggling. But things, and Mark touched on it there about, you know, he was, every week it seemed to be, he was down to 10 men, couldn't buy a result. Great comeback up at Dens. And that sort of kickstart. He's got a good enough squad. Look, they play a good style. They're strong up front. They've got good flair in the wide areas, good energy in the middle of the park. Defensively, they're very good on their game. Rugby Park, everybody knows, such a difficult venue. So they're up in the top six now. And Matt Wright quite rightly said, bit of character last night. Hearts bang on for them under this new manager. They go 1-0 down. You're thinking, well, Hearts will probably go and get the 3 points. But they showed great character to come back and take the 3 points away from Tyne.
How important was St Mirren's win just to sort of stop the rot, to Mark? And again, against a St Johnson team that are showing signs of life to defy people's pre-season predictions, albeit under a new manager. Who went a goal in front as well.
By the way, what a game it was. Did you see it? The amount of decisions VAR had to make. And you know, see at times when you're going through a real bad period like Stephen Robinson was, and you're thinking, how's this going to turn around? And it looks at a stage that you're going 2-0 down. You sometimes need those decisions to go your way, and you're talking millimetres in some of the offsides, and was it a push, the one they lobbed the keeper?
Some finish, wasn't it?
It was a great finish. You need those things to go your way, and he certainly got that last night.
Think it was
night.
A push?
No, I thought the goal should have stood.
I'm with Mark. I think you've got to allow that. I think he's strong. I think he's been in there. I don't think the defender has handled it. But after that, it's all about his finish. Absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, so a great result. You have to go and then do it at the other end, score goals. Scored some good goals last night. As highlighted in my goal of the night with Scott Tanzer. And you need that just to turn around your scene, because you don't want to get detached from those that are going ahead of you. So well done, Stephen Robinson.
The positive thing, even last night, midweek, you look at Pittodrie, right? Not an empty seat, 20,000 or whatever it holds. I looked at St Mirren last night, over 6,000. You know, St Mirren, as much as they've not been in great form, they're certainly doing things right. They're getting the crowds back there, maybe entertaining football, but that was an important result for him last night.
And we are right at the end of the show, which is good, because
Ross County
not
Hibs.
Much to say about Ross County Hibs anyway.
Clean sheets all round.
Just move on.
Both managers needed it,
just
didn't
forget
they?
About it.
Yeah, I feel for any Hibs fan travelling from Edinburgh to go and watch that.
I do some work with some highlights, and when I got sent those, they were about 30 seconds long. There was
the highlights.
It was like half chances at best. Anyway, we will leave it there. It was a sort of open-ended teaser tonight. How many of Mark Wilson's Celtic teammates can you name who've played for a club that Gordon Dale played for? Craig Beattie at Ayr, Mark Brown, Paul Hartley, Aidan McGeady, Kenny Miller, Samaras, Paul Slain, Willow Flood.
Many Scott McDonald we got as well.
Yeah, we're just...
How many to go?
Well, as I said, it's just how many you can get tonight. I think there are about 14 in total, maybe.
Killing Sheridan in there?
No. I didn't want to make you get them all. I was just seeing how many you could get. It's too boring to run through all that list.
Did you play with the boy we had at Airdrie, Conroy?
Oh, Ryan Conroy.
Great
what
shout.
What a shout.
Ryan Conroy.
Yeah, good shout.
Do you want me to put you out your misery on some others?
It.
Chris Killen, Man
Who
City.
Did he play for? Oh, so he did. So he did.
Neil Lennon.
Oh, how did you not get that?
Man City.
Neil Lennon?
Once, I think, yeah.
What? When?
No, I didn't know that.
I did not know that.
What? No, didn't know that.
Oh, wow.
And Stephen Presley played for Rangers.
Stephen Presley! Like Elvis.
And the hardest one, or one of the hardest, Lewis Toshney.
No.
Oh!
Played for Raith.
Ah!
There we go.
Play Celtic. Aye.
There we go. Those. Thank you, Mark and Gordon. Apologies for his Halloween outfits and so on. It was a bit of a shambles, but we're back tomorrow at 6:00.